Please be seated. Marlene will come and read the scripture for us. Our scripture this morning is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 15. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star in the east and have come to pay homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen in the east until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son."
Thank you. So Epiphany, it's a word that means revelation, manifestation, unveiling, insight, seeing or understanding something we haven't seen or understood before. Right? As we stand at the beginning of this new year, 2025, I don't know about you, but it feels to me like a year where there's a lot of uncertainty ahead. A lot. We cannot know what is coming. We wonder what is coming. It's easy to be anxious, fearful. Great irony, January 6th, tomorrow, which is the actual day of Epiphany in the church calendar, over the last 4 years has now become associated with something quite different, hasn't it? A day of violence at our nation's capital. So what good news, what word does this Epiphany story have to say to us as we stand here at the beginning of this new year? From what we know, those magi, those wise men from the east, were probably maybe Zoroastrian priests from Persia, men who studied the stars, and who also would have studied the sacred texts of Egypt and Israel and Babylon. Why knowledgeable scholars, but also men in that day, they believed the stars also had much to say. And they would have known the prophecies of the Messiah, that was to come for Israel. And so somehow when they saw this new star rising, they believed it was a sign that this new king was being born in Israel. And they made the choice, based on a star, to set out on a long journey to worship, to bring gifts. We have to wonder about their motivations. Wouldn't you love to have interviewed one of the wise men? What are you doing? Where are you going? Why? Matthew's point in telling the story seems quite clear. He wants to be sure that his readers, that we know that from the very beginning, Jesus was for all people. That the signs of his coming, the message, the good news, didn't just come to Jewish people there in Israel, but it came to all nations, all cultures, to these wise, learned people from far away. And that at his birth, they responded. They came to worship him from these foreign lands, while the ruler of Israel tried to have him killed. For us, it's a story full of all sorts of evocative symbols and metaphors. And every time I read it, I feel it. Whatever may be the historical facts behind this story, it is rich. It feels more the stuff of myth and legend, doesn't it, than of history. And yet, there are these truths in this story. There's the journey, vision, quest, following a hope of salvation. There is the light of the star, light that summons, light that reveals, light that guides, that calls us forth into unknown territory, seeking the deep longings of our hearts. Light that leads us through uncertainty and darkness. And sometimes, we all know, sometimes in these journeying of our lives, all we have in the moment is the memory of the light we've seen. Any given moment, sometimes it can be very dark and stormy, and it may feel like we can't see any light at all. And we keep moving forward because we remember the light we have seen, and we move forward in hope through the darkness, through the gloom. Hope and faith keep us moving, keep us following, keep us believing, keep us trusting what we saw and what we long to be true, no matter what the world may be seeming to say or to show us. So these magi dared to make this long trip, daring to believe that the hope it brought into their hearts was going to be fulfilled. But, and this is the but that I've shared with you before, but that it just struck me a few years ago with something I read. For all their wisdom and vision, they got it wrong. They went to the wrong place. They looked for the new king in Herod's palace in Jerusalem. How often are we like that? Looking for God's work in the places we think God ought to be working. We look in the places we expect, looking for what we think makes sense. Surely, they thought, a new king is going to be in the palace. Where else would a new king be born? Not some peasant's little house in Bethlehem? The story reminds us that God's ways are not our ways, and God again and again chooses to use the small, the simple, the poor, the meek, not the rich, the powerful, the famous. In this final chapter of the Christmas story, it's not all angels and hallelujahs and rejoicing, because there is also Herod. And in human history, there are always Herods. Because when Herod heard these men were looking for a new king, he was frightened. And the scripture said, and all Jerusalem with him. When the powerful and rich are frightened, everyone is frightened. Beware what can happen when powerful people get scared and feel threatened. When they fear that God might be doing something that will upset the status quo and disrupt their positions and their privilege, they are terrified of losing their power, and they are scheming and manipulating and plotting to hold on by any means necessary. We know something about that, don't we? We see it again and again. And in this case, even if it means killing the baby boys of Bethlehem, what matters? Just to be safe. This story shows us that from the beginning, Jesus was a challenge to the principalities and powers of this world, that he was and still is a threat to all powers of domination and control, to Herod, to Rome and its false peace based on oppression and military violence, to all the forces throughout time that try to grind down and silence and destroy. Jesus, who came as that little child, is the answer to all that evil in the world. He did not come in power, he came in vulnerability and openness. He did not come with wealth or status, he came poor, one of the least of these. He came as a child, and yet somehow he was and is true love revealed to us. Here is the love that no power of this world can ever destroy. Here is the light that the darkness can never put out. The Magi left the palace of Herod and went toward Bethlehem, and the star appeared again. That vision from months ago coming forth again to lead them, and they were overwhelmed with joy. That's the way joy works, isn't it? It surprises us. It overwhelms us. It breaks in when we least expect it. Not when everything is perfect, but in the middle of our struggles and our sufferings, within the brokenness and pain of life, joy can still come. We are surprised by joy. And when we follow the light, we with the Magi find ourselves in the presence, experiencing the Christ. And we're invited to fall on our knees and worship and share the gifts of what we have and who we are. So, dear friends, at the beginning of this year of uncertainty, all years are years of uncertainty, of course, but this one feels particularly that way. Do not be afraid. Although it struck me this morning when Marlene was reading that this time when the angel appeared to Joseph in the dream, the angel didn't say, don't be afraid, which is interesting. There are some things in this world that are worth fearing, but we cannot let that fear control us. We let that fear give us wisdom to know the way to go. And so they went home by another way. God's presence kept guiding them. So we do not know what will come. We cannot imagine what this year may hold. But we do know that we are people of the light, that we're trying to follow the star. And so we walk in faith and hope that the great love we find in Bethlehem will lead and guide us all the way home. Frederick Buechner wrote, I love this, Bethlehem is not the end of our journey, it's only the beginning. It's not home. It's the place through which we must pass if we ever are to reach home at last. At Bethlehem, we find the God who chooses again and again to be with us. At Bethlehem, the heart of God is revealed, the face of God unveiled, and the face of Jesus, that little child. And in response, we're invited to open our hearts, open our lives again and again, to give who we are and to trust our lives and our futures to the God who loves us and the God who is never defeated by the power of evil, the power of death, the God who is greater than all of whatever the world may throw at us. The God we know in Jesus is greater than that. So, let us go forth to follow the light, to live in the light, to live in love, and trust that the light is always shining, even in the darkness. Thanks be to God. Amen.